Blog Talk Radio.
Revolutionary War general, served in the East. Mata Hari, in fact, her picture is on this Blog Talk episode. And, of course, hers was a heterosexual spy scandal, unlike the homosexual spy scandals, which we will discuss a little later. Great Cuban composer who wrote the song Simone and several other great Cuban melodious songs. Ernesto Lacuna, great anthropologist, Louis Lakey, born on this day, a black who contributed to America, although a lot of people are questioning the relevance of the United Nations. Ralph Bunche was a black who was the first black to reach a high position in the beginning of the United Nations back in 1950. His birthday. Jimmy Carter's sister, the evangelist, Ruth Carter Stapleton. Apparently, she didn't do anything to help the other Carter, who had a lot of problems, the younger brother of Jimmy. Helen Caldicott, the Australian doctor who was raised a worldwide anti-war crusade. And if you remember Lake Wobegon, in fact, Garrison Keillor started on Minnesota Public Radio, in which KLW, under the leadership of the program manager, Ted Samuel, the late loved, beloved Ted Samuel, he introduced Garrison Keillor to American audiences here on the West Coast. Among the deaths today, the only notable one was Oliver Hardy of Laurel and Hardy. Among the events today, Columbus arrived in the Caribbean. Oh, we have a little problem with one of our things. Excuse me again. In 1782, George Washington established the Order of the Purple Heart. That's the origin of it. If you've eaten those Maui potato chips, well, in 1820, the first potatoes were planted in Hawaii, and I guess that's where we get our Maui potato chips today. They're very good, by the way. In 1912, Teddy Roosevelt, who had been president, succeeded McKinley. He was very angry with the Wilson and the Republicans and William Howard Taft, so he started what was called the Bull Moose Party, and he used to beat his chest and say, "I feel as fit as a bull moose." Unfortunately, there's only one rare recording of Teddy Roosevelt. I understand he had a high-pitched voice. And then during the early part of the century, a peace bridge was constructed and dedicated between the United States and Canada. In 1963, Jackie Kennedy's first child was born in the White House. She was the first first lady to have a child, to birth the child in the White House since the second Mrs. Grover Cleveland. And then, which this is one of the justifications for the Vietnam War, when a U.S. destroyer, the Maddox, I think, was fired on by some Vietnamese gunboats in the Gulf of Tonkin, while Lyndon Johnson and the War Hawks in Congress and in the administration conned Congress into passing the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and so that was our justification for really ramping up the Vietnam War. Now, earlier I promised you the interview I did in Australia with a Japanese veterinarian, when I asked him the questions about what was the effect of the atomic bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima. This is the anniversary week. In 1945, what was the effect on the animals? And this is what he said in that interview.
Well, again, I'm talking to Dr. Shomo from Osaka, Japan. The doctor is your veterinarian, right, doctor?
Yes.
Okay. What's your specialty?
My specialty is pathology and parasitology. I was once teaching in Africa for about 9 years. You see, and then I went back home. It's now since 73 I am now in Japan and continuing my work, which I have started already more than a quarter century ago. It relates to one particular disease of central nervous system of domestic animals.
Like dogs and cats?
Yes. No. A horse, sheep, and goats, and worm, which normally parasitize in the peritoneal cavity of cattle, when once transmitted by mosquito into horse, sheep, or goats, they migrate.
Kind of like an encephalitis?
They migrate into the brain spinal cord, and then sometimes come out into the anterior chamber of horse's eye. And this is the problem of the East, because this particular species of worm is only limitedly found in the East, not in other part of the world.
So you're an expert on that?
Yes, that's right.
Doctor, you've lived through the era of nuclear warfare and that sort of thing, however limited. What is your perspective on radiation so far as animals in this part of the world? Has there been a greater susceptibility to cancer in domestic animals?
That, you know, about that, we can't say. But anyhow, the follow-up of the on the condition of human beings had been done quite a lot in Japan, you see, especially in Hiroshima. There is a special hospital, and then there, all patients who are suffering from this post-war disease, they are well treated and also diagnosed properly, and treatment is free, so still many patients are still under their treatment.
But could you extend that theory to animals? I mean, if it happened to human beings,
yes.
Surely the domestic animal.
Yes, that is what you wanted to know.
Of course.
Anyhow, at that time, one veterinary officer went to Hiroshima soon after the war, and he had investigated the situation of animals, but we don't have any record at all. But I think there is no great difference from the suffering of human beings. Anyhow, those who got a very high temperature and high pressure, they should have died quite soon. But those who got only radiation should have suffered quite chronically, you see. And
And what about dogs in the outlying areas? What could, you know...
There is no record. I don't know at all about it.
So did the Japanese government keep records of that guy who did the research?
No, not only the Japanese government, but also from the United States Army. They should have it about it, you know. Then because before Japanese expert went to the spot, they already investigated the situation. So they should have all records. Perhaps in your national library there is a record.
There ought to be. Doc, as a person who's living in this part of the world, there is nuclear testing going on. How do you feel about the effect of nuclear testing on animals in the sea and that sort of thing, and the fallout?
That is very pity, buddy. But you know, Father, to protect the human beings, they have had to do it in sacrifice of the life of poor animals. You see, that is not only in the nuclear research, but also in other diseases, the same thing is occurring. So, in a sense, we can't especially accuse only in the nuclear research about this sacrification of experimental animals.
Is there a nuclear research, or are a lot of animals used in laboratory testing in Japan?
That I don't know actually how it is made, yes. But all people don't like to speak much of that effect anymore. Mm-hmm. So more or less the common medicine man or veterinarian doesn't bother much, do not bother much about the condition, but only the specialists may do it. I'm sure they are still doing it.
Doc, in Japanese thinking, the culture, the philosophy, is there a Japanese perspective or an attitude toward animals, like the Hindus? Like the Hindus make animals gods.
No, we don't have much. Then because our religion, as you know, we are not so religious. Anyhow, therefore, usually they sacrifice the animals for medical or veterinary research quite easily. Yes.
So animals don't hold a special part in the Japanese culture or modern Japanese thinking, or even, you know, like the culture of the early Japanese emperors and all that sort of thing. You don't have any kind of cultural trend?
No, we don't have it. No.
Doc, if you were talking to the veterinarians at this conference, what would you say to them about people's attitudes toward animals? What perspective would you give them? What advice?
Over what?
How they should relate to animals. Do you, should it be more of a humanistic relation, or should
this is very difficult problem nowadays, because in a way of life in Japan, we are so living so much crowded, so even a pet dogs and cat we can't keep anymore. Then, for example, for the education of children, we want to have one or two dogs, but if once we have the dog, we have to carry the precious dog together, and then when once the dog passes out, so we have to take it. And by this way, you see, gradually people are very few who really want to keep the pet. But on the other side, there are many people who are doing that, especially elderly.
Well, that was the end of that interview with the Japanese doctor. And, of course, we will have more interviews that I did in the various conferences that I attended around the world. Now, I wanted to bring up, it's also on here, Bradley Manning. Now, if he had been in the Russian military or the KGB or the GRU, which is Russian military intelligence, and he pulled this stunt that he pulled while a member of the United States Army, turning over communications and sensitive documents, and his reasonings were not patriotic, I understand that he was a very angry homosexual who wanted to have a sex change, a transgender change. Now, we've had through many of the spy scandals throughout modern history, you can go back to Captain Dreyfus case, Alfred Dreyfus, back in turn of the century in France, in which Esterhazy, who was also a captain in the French army, was running the male whorehouse in Paris. And he was Esterhazy was turning over French military secrets to the Germans. This was after the Franco-Prussian War. And Dreyfus, who was Jewish, wealthy, from Alsace-Lorraine, was the fall guy for this. He didn't know anything about it. He was a very loyal Frenchman. He had a kangaroo court-martial and was exiled or sentenced to Devil's Island in the Caribbean. It took Emile Zola and several other, Anatole France and several other prominent people and worldwide outrage to force a new trial and expose Esterhazy, who fled France. Eventually, Emile Zola and his so shook up the French public that they had to give Alfred Dreyfus a pardon, and then later was exonerated that he wasn't a spy, and he was restored to rank. One of his relatives is Richard Dreyfus, who is the actor who was born in Evanston, Illinois. Now, another scandal about that time involved the Austrian chief, Colonel Radel, who was the chief of Austrian military intelligence, and he was a homosexual who liked young males. And he was turning over Austrian military secrets to the Russians. They had compromised him. It goes back that far with the Russians. In modern times, we've had a Captain Vassil of the Royal Navy. He was turning over sensitive military information to the Soviets, and he was a homosexual. Then we had the atomic bomb secrets and a longtime British government and American political and military secrets being turned over through the traitors of Burgess and McLean, who were bisexual, homosexual at the extreme, and Philby, who was supposed to be heterosexual. And then, of course, another heterosexual scandal was that of Aldrich James, who was involved with a Cuban spy, and, of course, he's sitting in jail. Now, this is a public policy question. Should the death penalty be restored for individuals who commit spying, because they put the entire nation at risk? And, we had the John Walker scandal, and, of course, it involved his Walker's son, Michael Walker, who was a sailor, I think, on the USS Enterprise, was doing the same things, had the same type of job as Bradley Manning. So you can see a picture of Bradley Manning in a KGB military uniform, which is on this blog talk. And also you can see Matahari and Colonel Radel. These things aren't, to be viewed lightly. And Americans, as I repeatedly said, having been acquainted with the field, have never understood the nature of international espionage, traitors, and that of that sort. But they're very much, we see them today as just as active as their predecessors were back at the turn of the century. It's ironic that Britain probably started the first modern spy agency with Elizabeth I and her spy chief, who hunted down Catholics and Catholic priests, and also prevented the blowing up of Parliament and the Gunpowder Plot. And, of course, they caught the people involved, and they were put through some horrible, horrible tortures, which I won't get into here. Talking about pain, we've added this to the political lexicon. I think it's very appropriate, having been a victim of a bicyclist who ran me down and my dear lady and some other people that I know, and also people who have pets who were put at risk by this reckless bicycling by people we would refer to label as boucherets, or to be boucheret means to, this applies to a reckless bicyclist who injures or kills or is responsible for killing a pedestrian. Now, we had a case in Georgia where an 18-year-old bicyclist violated Georgia's rules of the road, that apply to bicycles. A woman was driving. She swerved to avoid hitting him because he had violated the rules of the road. So in avoiding hitting him, she was hit by a truck and died. The kid was prosecuted under the Georgia's manslaughter statutes, and I'm still trying to find out what the disposition was of that case. Now, we have a case pending up in Cottage Grove, Oregon, where a crazed bicyclist was stopped by an Oregon policeman, and the bicyclist tried to murder the traffic cop. So I don't know what the disposition is of that case, and we'll keep you posted. Now, we will go, we're going to have more stuff on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and of course, we were hacked, so we're restoring Amicus Veritas. .org has become amicusveritas.net, amicusveritas.input, amicusveritas.net. So those things will be, there will be more up there, and then we'll try to restore what was up there, but what was hacked. So we'll be back Friday, and we will be putting on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, amicusveritas, this interview with the Japanese doctor, because I think it's very important that people start looking at the effects that animals endured in the name of advanced warfare, like atomic bomb testing. They used, in the Bikini atom bomb testing in that island, they used animals on chips. It's just horrible, you know, what happened to those poor animals. And, of course, you can see a two-headed frog that was that survived the atom bombing of Hiroshima. We don't know what happened in Nagasaki because that was the other city that was bombed. It was hit by an atomic bomb, so we'll be researching that. It was very difficult to get this information, but I think it's very relevant because if these crazy Muslims in the Middle East get the atom bomb or atomic weapons, the ability to launch those things, not only people are going to be injured and killed, but also our animals. Now, we will end, I'm losing my voice, with our usual politics and poker, and we will, I would recommend to anybody who wants to understand what Pope Francis is talking about and the Vatican Bank and the Vatican's finances and the Roman Catholic Church's finances, I highly recommend buying or borrowing, don't steal this book, Jack Cashel's book, Popes and Bankers. It's very well written. One of the things that in there, I didn't know this. We know a lot about Gutenberg, and I refer to the latest phase of the Gutenberg Revolution, which is the latest technological advance in communications. And those of us who know about John Gutenberg know that he invented the printing press. Well, most people, the majority of people, don't know that it was, ironically, it was a pope that helped him get the money to invent this press. Now, it's ironic because the Catholic Church, through its monks and monasteries, had the monopoly on the printed word. Of course, it was all these books were copied by hand. But once Gutenberg invented that press and typesetting, that broke the monks' monopoly on communications and printing and books and all of that. So it's kind of ironic. Just Jack Cashel researched this. It's very interesting. Also, the Rothschilds, we have a lot of information about them. It's a paperback well worth getting, and I think it's available on Amazon. It's at a reasonable price, but again, I say if you can buy it, buy it. If you can borrow it, borrow it, but don't steal that book. So we'll go to our theme and our closing theme, politics and poker, and we will be back Friday at 4:00, and here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
Hey, what are you going to do? I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose. Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, double up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call on top.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fudjicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
This is Peter Paul Barzola. Good night, and we'll see you, or you'll hear us on Friday, August 9th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS YouTube. Good night.